taking my inventory. That's what I did when I first came here. Oh, cry, there's an old guy up there and he's going to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. What has he got to know? You know, they can barely remember his name. Well, I'm an old guy, right? I'm what's called antediluvian. That's before the flood. You know, the big one that's with Noah and the ark. I sat in the back with the dinosaurs. And I'm right now about 42 and three quarter years past my expiration date. So I've been here a long time. I've got a lot of experience, good experience and bad experience, but that's what I have. And I give a real quick story that's going to take a long. I think I had to name a topic or read a paragraph. So I'm going to read this paragraph. You can all memorize it with me. This is the shortest paragraph in the big book. It's on page 88. It works. It really does. That's pretty darn good news. And I'll talk about how it works and why it works and what I do to work it. I'm going to tell this especially to the newcomer because you know I used to be a newcomer, and I'm going to try and tell you what's going on. So basically, what happened for me is I got sober in Denver, Colorado. Oh, I'll give you the, I got sober in Denver, Colorado, on a business trip. I was a traveling salesman. That was one of the things that I did. I was on four airplanes a week, 200 hotel nights a year, a completely covered expense account, unlimited, and sold a lot of stuff. And I was very successful in business. Some things about my life, just so you know, I was originally born in Wisconsin, went to school at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. I heard someone say they were from Madison. I was a speech major and a psych minor, and I was in teaching and coaching. I never used teaching and coaching except when I was teaching swimming and stuff because I swam for the University of Wisconsin. I was a very good swimmer. My background was there was I was very, very comfortable being uncomfortable. I'm an ex-military guy, special services, military police, underwater rescue and recovery. I did a lot of crazy things. I jumped out of helicopters with skis on. I was a motorcycle rider. I'm a deep qualified diver. I race sailboats in the ocean. I did stuff that we can't talk about in here because we don't want to scare anyone out of the rooms, but that's not what I am. I'm an alcoholic. I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession about drinking. And that's what my problem was. That was the symptom of my problems. My real problem is basically on page 62, I'm selfish and self-centered. And that got me in a lot of trouble. So instead of getting into all that stuff, I got 12-stepped by a customer who I did several million dollars worth of business with in Denver, Colorado. And he said, hey, you could get me into this thing called Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't know how much it cost or what it was, but he says, share some of the experience because he had an intervention done on. So I listened to him and I went to Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, I went to one of the meetings with him, but the thing that was interesting is I was supposed to go to a meeting in California when I got back from this business trip. So I thought of a place. I know a place I can go. There's this Italian drinking place. They drink there a lot. It was called the Alano Club. And I knew it was a drinking place because they sat on the porch with these styrofoam cups drinking, I thought was brandy and coffee. And those in their cups over there, and it was kind of a rough and tumble group. And I was come from a kind of a rough and tumble family. My basic background of my dad was in the, let's call it the gambling and collections business, and my grandfather was in the mafia. So we had a pretty tough group of people, and I was trained in a lot of self-defense stuff in the military. I was, you know, with guns, all the stuff there did. My dad, when I was first a kid, had a professional boxer teach me to fight. So I was self-sufficient, self-reliant, and I loved to be on the edge of the edge of the edge. And that's how I was. I got my kicks out of that. So anyhow, I listened to it and I went up there, but I was going to be very careful when I went to this meeting because you never know what kind of people are going to be at one of these things because of the drinking. I wasn't sure about them. So as usual, I wore my mirrored sunglasses. Little short black cigar, 38 in my boot, good shoes on, and my boots on, and went over there and walked into that room, and I felt comfortable. I saw this tough guy, Rocky. He was a Hell's Angels. I'll sit next to him. I liked him. He carried a straight edge razor in his boot. I looked across. There's another guy. He introduced himself and his art. He was a black ops guy. He had a 45 automatic sitting in his shoulder. And one of the guys that was speaking and sharing was a nice guy. He was a bank robber, career bank robber. And there's another guy sitting in the room. He was a killer. And there were some other people in there. So it was kind of, I kind of felt relaxed because, I was with my people. And there's a couple of business guys in there. But that's what I just said. And that's what was, and that's what's called a scoffer. I didn't believe anything anyone said. And I was just sitting, I looked around and they started doing some of the stuff, the sharing stuff. And I'm listening. There's a couple of gals who are talking and they're blah, 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 blah. It's very difficult, by the way, to listen. If you're a newcomer, it's hard. It's detox. You can't concentrate on a damn thing. And I couldn't, I couldn't hear anything. I kept wondering, why don't you get to the point? What are you going to get to point? How does this thing work? I didn't hear how it works for 60 days. 60 days. I didn't hear. I kept asking, get to the point. Tell me, how it works. What's going on? And then I heard things that I did not like at all. One of them was, read this book. In fact, that's mentioned four times in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Read this book. Well, being the good scoffer that I was, I opened it up to page 164 because that's the end page to find out precisely how it turned out because I was not going to waste my very valuable time reading some stupid book without knowing what it was about. And I read it, it turned out pretty good. The last paragraph, you don't waste time. So it was trudge the road to happy destiny, trudges to walk with purpose. I was a speech major, so I was really sensitive to words because words create pictures which bring on emotions. There's a dirty word which I will try not to use in Alcoholics Anonymous. So that dirty word is pretty simple. It's you should. You. No one can hear the word you. And I didn't like it. I didn't like hearing the word you. And it was very difficult to listen. But I tried to listen a lot, and the people were sharing. Some of the stories were pretty exciting. And I was just listening to the stories and find out, who is I? Because they said you can find yourself. And they said other things like, go to 90 meetings in 90 days. What? I looked up at the people. I had my sunglasses, looked up and said, 90 days, 90 meetings? These people must be retarded. If you go to three meetings a day in 30 days, you got it made. And that's what I thought. Because I was, by the way, I was not an alcoholic when I came in there. I was what's referred to as a business social drinker. I only drank a fifth and a half a day. Wine and beer didn't count, and everything else was recreational. And I was had an American Express gold card. I had all the money you wanted. I had all the things and stuff, but there was something wrong. I remember going in the hotels I stayed, because I stayed in obviously 5-star hotels, and we'd go through there. And I looked in the mirror and I couldn't recognize myself. It was that blank look. I just couldn't. There was something wrong. I felt what's on page 8. It's called No Words Can Describe the Loneliness, the Despair, and the Morass of Self-Pity. Poor me. If everyone would just do exactly what I said when I said it, what a wonderful world this would be. And I wouldn't have to be a type A part-type person. And that's what I thought. And then I started listening to some more people over there and they started talking more about it. And a guy said, can I have your telephone number? Again, mirrored glasses came up, look him right in the eye, and says, what? Don't you understand? This is Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't have to tell you anything. And the guy said the kindest words you could ever say to an alcoholic. You're not going to make it. I wanted to rip his lips right out of his face. We had nicknames in the olden days, and I was called Thermonuclear Jer because I was always a little angry. And then I remember and always in speaking, and after about 3 years in speaking in terms of swear words, I had a guy named Cab Driver Craig came up to me and says, Jerry, You sure use a lot of angry adjectives, and that surprised me. Wow. And now I don't swear. Why don't, it's not that swearing is wrong, but it's a symptom of me getting very angry, not having my way. The other thing I didn't get is, why do I feel this way? And why can't I listen? Why can't God? I had a man explain the book to me first, but oh, excuse me, before that, I had to read two pamphlets. And I highly recommend these pamphlets to the newcomers. One is Questions and Answers on Sponsorship. It tells you what a sponsor does and does not do. The sponsor was a guide through going through this 12 steps with me. They did not run my own life. I had to get a power greater myself, which I did not like and was never going to believe in. God was for weak people. I was an agnostic just in case there was God. I was not going to say there wasn't. And I remember when I was younger and the kind of the quiet cinnamon in the wild, my dog, I'm going to just quiet. Just in case there was one, I was going to do some good deeds. And I remember I did several good deeds. In fact, one of them turned out to be a miracle. And I can't tell you what it is because if you say what you did, it doesn't count anymore. So I was just going to keep this up. God said, boy, you sure have a rotten life and did some rotten things. Like I say, no, but I did this. So I never say what it is, and I still to this day do not tell anyone what it was. But it was put in the newspapers. I was part of a miracle. It was just something that I did, and I tried to do that just to keep my bases covered. So anyhow, I was still lucky to be in that room, and I couldn't figure out what the book was about. So finally, I went into what's called a book study meeting. And they're reading the stuff over there. And someone said, we're on step four. And I didn't like the steps because obviously, step four is something I'm not going to go through and make a personal inventory of this and confess anything. And I'm just going to be quiet about what's going on. So I said, I don't have to do this. It's my program. I can do it any way I wanted to. There's a nice, gentle guy named Hardcore Don. And Don said, at the meeting, you probably didn't do one, two, and three. I wanted to rip his lips out. You notice this violence thing that keeps coming up? It's military. Always this violence, always violence, violence, but anger, tremendous anger. Still couldn't figure it out. And finally, when they explained how the big book was constructed and then getting a sponsor, I needed a guide to get there. In fact, I invented the yellow highlighter so that I could underline and read the black print instead of the white print in that book. And I started to read that book. And I found out the first step, and I wasn't sure I was an alcoholic, like I said. So the first step was really simple. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Well, my life was not a manageable. I was making all these kinds of money. I had all these things and stuff. American Express, my life is not manageable. What was unmanageable, I found out, was my drinking. No matter what I tried to do, I could not manage my drinking. So I started reading it. There's got to be tests for this thing. And on page 31 and 34, there are two tests you can take. And those tests are pretty simple. One is try stopping drinking for a year. I did that for a week one time. It was terrible. I didn't like that one. So I just kind of forgot about that. The other one is try some controlled drinking. Now that makes much more sense, controlled drinking, because I remember when you go to the bar, you could always control it when your tab hit $100 or when you couldn't fit all the swizzle sticks in one hand. You probably had a lot too much to drink. That's not what it was. It's to try controlled drinking and then try stopping. So I remember this one night I tried what's called controlled drinking. Basically, I took a 16-ounce glass filled with vodka. And I drank two of those. I didn't get drunk. I was having difficulty getting drunk. And tried doing that, still couldn't get drunk. And basically, what I did is then I said, oh, it's a new day. So I had two more. That's not controlled drinking. Four 16-ounce glasses of vodka is not controlled drinking. And I had trouble getting drunk. It stopped working. And I was getting more and more angry with this thing. But at least I could say, I could at least try that, and I probably am an alcoholic. So that kind of convinced me that I had a problem with drinking, that my life was unmanageable. That was kind of difficult, but it was the drink. It starts out, by the way, with my
5
drink.
minutes, Jerry.
What was drinking was unmanageable. Thank you very much. And basically, by going through the first three steps, I had to get some principles, and that was honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And those were the important things. I had to get open-minded, and God, who's God? It was real simple. It said, who are you to say there is no God? And that was good enough just to open the door a crack. Then it was, the next thing was unwillingness, willingness to under the care, it's not the control of God. And I was willing to try that. And then by doing one, two, and three, I was able to finally do four through nine and went through those steps. But I didn't really get the whole thing, and this is what I basically finished with. Today, I want steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis, because what I want, and it's those pages 88, excuse me, 84 through 88, and at 84, I have to watch for four things: dishonesty, selfishness, resentment, and fear. And then right under that, it tells me four things I can do about it. If you're interested, you can look on those pages. That's not enough, because on step 11 was really important. Step 11, when I went to bed at night, I had to basically ask myself seven questions and take two actions. And then upon awakening in the morning, I had to plan my day, do the prayer and meditation. I had a simple prayer and simple meditations by just trying to listen and be in the moment. And the last thing that I had to do is to continue out through the day and do those things. If I felt I got a gift, the gift I got was the gift of pause. Pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. It's pause, not plot. I thought it was plot, and I had to do that. And all else fails, gratitude is a real simple thing. It is not a list. Gratitude is an action, and the action that I had to take was to be of service and to help others. And to this day, I've helped and been fortunate enough to sponsor a couple hundred guys who in turn sponsor 12 generations of guys. So it works, it really does. And the last thing I'm saying, if you have really difficulty, I'm going to use the dirty word you, don't read pages 24 and 25. Don't, whatever you do, don't read those two pages, because you'll find out what you're doing wrong and what you can do right. And basically, there's no mental defense against the first string. I found a power greater than myself, who I call God, and I have not put shoes and socks on. Have a great day, unless you have other plans.